Good evening. This is the NLA Hamsnet. I am KI0RE, Terry, and I'm conducting the net tonight. I wanted to have more of a discussion tonight because I think we need to go somewhere. And I know that learning is very important, and I want to encourage you to keep learning your ham, anything to do with ham radio, so that you can get to the point where you know what's going on. With that in mind, we do have a communications plan. I don't have the web in front of me, so I can't tell you exactly where it is, but there's look over in committees of safety on the blue banner and pull down. There should be a ham committee. And, Jane, if I got it wrong, please fill me in.
Nope, that's right.
I'd like to take check-ins. If you would like to speak, you don't have to, but I would appreciate knowing who's out there and who I'm talking to. And I'd like to get out of the way. And if you have any questions, I want to go ahead and talk about them. Let's get everybody who has a call sign. Please sign in with your call sign and your state. And I'd appreciate it. Your first name, call sign, first name. Okay. Any check-ins? Go ahead now.
Net control. This is Kilo Whiskey 4, X-Ray Golf, Wonder Am, Spartanburg, South Carolina, with the full moon overhead. If you're close to Mars, wave at us, okay? No, sorry. Over.
Any other check-in? Thank you, Wonder Ann. Any other check-in?
Yes, Net Control. This is Kilo Charlie 3 Hotel Victor Alpha. Jan, checking in. Over.
Yay!
Yeah, they actually gave him a call sign.
Yep.
I know. Wonderful.
World has changed. Does anybody else want to check in? Wow. Anybody want to check in?
This is Harley from Vermont, and I just ordered my radio, and first time on the call tonight, maybe they'll, I don't know, give me a call sign.
Okay. I didn't get your first name. Could you say it again, please?
This is Harley from Vermont and the Capital District, New York, around Albany.
Oh.
Yeah, I got my radio order in, and I don't know what the turnaround's like or who the contact person is these days.
I think the contact person is Bob Cagle, though I'm not sure about that. You can go from the page and decide that, but if you've already put it in order, then it's on its way.
Yeah.
Do you have your license yet?
Nope, I just still want to investigate that stuff. What advice do you have as far as a sort of route?
Well, it depends a lot on how you study. Some people like to read the book and then take the test questions in the back and then go on from there. Others just like to blow through the questions. All you need to do is keep going through the question pool until they get most of them. I would suggest that however you choose to do it, that you get in touch with the local ham group. You can look on ARRL.org and find a ham club that's near you. And then make contact with the club. Find out who the president is or the vice president, or treasurer, whoever you can, and just make contact. And hams, you'll find love to help people out. And
well, there is a Northeast U.S. Facebook page, which I'm on it. I'm not very active on there because I don't know much yet, but now's time. So maybe I'll find out some people on there and expand us, I think, out through the ham community. I think that they are identified as a group that's very sort of like-minded, should we say, enough.
Yes, and I want to encourage you to make contact with a ham, and when somebody mentors another ham, we call them an Elmer.
Right, right. I need an Elmer.
Find them an Elmer. Okay, have you taken any of the tests?
I have not. I come from a media and electron, a video, audio kind of background, and I used to put up the first online learning course for UVM proper. I used to work in Distance Learning Network for about a decade. And so I probably would take it online if it's offered and just kind of test out whatever's required. And
There's some free places. QRZ's one of them. And I think Wonder Ann has another one. Jan might have another one. Wonder Ann, you want to give them your sign?
Yes, my sign is Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf. And what I did was I did ham radio test online.com. And what you do is you get each one of the tests separate, the tech test, the general test, and then the extra test. And the cost of them is about the cost of the book. And it was very good because it gave you a bit of information and it tested you on it. So you were constantly getting the information. If you made a mistake, it would cycle that one through until you really got the information. And I think that's kind of what Jan did. And I just found it super for my learning. I'm sorry?
That site again, please.
HamRadioTestOnline.com. And if you've come from a background in that, it's going to be a lot easier. I know from the electronics classes that I've taken, the teachers would have been able to pass it with no problem if they know it's cold. So if you've got that kind of background, it'll be good.
I can study it. I've done a lot of different sort of like it, I guess. But so that's great. There's two sort of ways to do it. I guess you would take a proctored exam somewhere else if you just did the book on paper or...
That you have to go to your... Oh, go ahead, Terry. You tell them, please.
I'm sorry, Wonder. I didn't mean to step on you.
That's okay.
They have what's called volunteer examiners, and they have to publicly announce where their test is going to be, when, and what's required to take the test. And all you have to have is like $14, $15 and know where the test is going to be and then show up. Mm-hmm. And whoever you contact will have that information for your area. So that's another good reason to tie up.
Yeah. I'll do what I can to find an Elmer, and probably whatever they're working with too is going to have an influence, but all very good advice, and I'll just sit back and listen and try to get what I get.
Okay. And they also have an ARRL.org. They have testing sites and test scheduled tests. They're a member, if they're an ARRL supervised testing session, then those will be in there. And you can look them up on the ARRL website, ARRL.org. Is there anybody else who wants to check in?
Yeah, this is Kilo Mike 4, Whiskey Uniform Juliet, Bruce, Sarasota, Florida.
That was KM4WUJ. Is that what I got?
Yeah, KM4WUJ.
That was Mike in Florida.
Bruce in Florida.
Bruce. I'm sorry, Bruce. Okay.
I wasn't here last week. I belonged to a computer club. First Wednesday of the month.
We're glad you're here now. Are there any other check-ins?
Paul from Michigan.
Hi, Paul. It's good to hear you back in there. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else want to check in?
This is Greg in Florida.
I think I heard Greg in Florida. Was that what I heard?
Yes.
Your volume is way down. I'm sorry. Was there somebody else in there?
No, I was just going to say his volume is very, very low.
Yeah, Greg, if there's any way you can increase your volume, great. Otherwise, we'll try and get along. Okay, does anybody, if everybody that's checked in, is there any more check-ins? Anybody else? Okay, is there anybody that has any questions they need to resolve tonight? They would like to ask a question or state something or something like that.
Yes, I'd like to make a couple comments. Harley, if you want the URL for that ham test online, it's hamradiolicenseexam.com. And like Wonder Ann, I thought it was a great learning aid. I normally don't like to read online, but I found that you're just reading, you know, few paragraphs and then ask questions about it. Each one of the different licenses costs different amounts of money. So when you take your technician, you pay for that, and then when you move up to the general, you pay for that, and so on. So it does cost you a little more. Over the weekend, I had some time in Monday and Tuesday, so I went through the extra exam ham test online, and Tuesday, I worked through six or seven of the study exams. They have exams on there that are sample exams. And then I went in Tuesday night and took the exam. Really threw me because I found about 6 to 8 questions that I hadn't run across before. So it was a little bit of a grueling exercise, but I did pass the exam. So now I have my exercise.
Yay! Congratulations! Wow!
Thank you.
That's super, Jan!
That's great.
Woohoo!
In regards to the orders for the Bofangs, the fellow that we've that does that for us had a hospitalization here for about a week, so he kind of got behind, and he's back working again, and I think all of the orders that he had were upgraded and shipped out today, I think it was. Now, there's some new ones that have come in, and John still has them, and we've got to get them to him. But, you know, we're back on track there. It shouldn't take long to process them. Over.
Well, mine might be on that second wave there, and I asked for the programming, so I didn't expect it lickety-split, you know.
Okay, good. Yeah, if it was in a couple weeks ago, it should be on its way.
Yeah, I know it's less than that. Very good.
You know, if you don't get it soon, send me an email and I'll check on it.
All right, and this is Carl.
No, this is Jan.
Oh, Jan, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, and I don't want to stop the flow of information. That was good. Thank you, Jan. Thank you. Was that Harley that was talking?
Yes, sir.
Did you have anything else that you needed to deal with?
Not really. Just reminding people there is a Facebook for Northeast United States Ham Radio, and I'll probably be more active on there myself now that I have something germane to talk about. Before I was just lurking. So yeah, just over.
Okay, thank you very much. Does anybody else have any issues they want to address? Okay, hearing none, I just want to go on and talk just a little bit about a ham radio topic, maybe concerning the NLA. If you haven't read the communications plan, please do so. Ham radio is one of those things where they need some specific skills to be able to talk to people and enable communications over distances and over short distances, short distances and long distances, I guess I want to say. And that requires skills that you have to practice and you have to learn something about. And for those of you that have just got your license or have been learning, you understand very much how to get there. And then the others, keep going. Keep learning. You make yourself much more usable when you do have a capability. And I wanted to throw out something. I don't know if anybody has investigated, but this is kind of an upper-level thing. And that's so you can put it in the back of your mind. But there's something called a software-defined radio, SDR. And they come in different form factors and different things they cover, et cetera, et cetera. But for about $50, you can get a decent one that plugs into your serial port. And all you got to do is attach an antenna to it, and then you can start getting signals from everywhere. When you really think about it, ham radio signals are everywhere because they're just RF energy moving through the air. And every time a signal is sent out, somebody transmits, it goes all around the world in certain bands, or it's just direct, and it just keeps going out into space. Now, it does follow the inverse square law, so it's much weaker by the square of the distance as it propagates out wherever it's going. But these signals that we're listening to are tiny. What distinguishes one signal from another is frequency, because the frequency that you have it on is the only frequency you're going to hear. So whatever you put your receiver on, what frequency you're on, that's the only signal you're going to hear because it resonates with a particular frequency. Above and beyond that, you also have what's called the modulation or the signal. A straight carrier wave is just a plain old sine wave, and it looks like nothing, and there's no intelligence on it except it's just out there. It doesn't even have an audible sound to it. It's just a radio energy going out. If you've ever turned to an FM radio station, when they had a little gap, you'll notice that during that gap, you can't hear a thing. There's nothing out there. That's just pure carrier. It's not being modulated. And modulating is when you start doing something to the signal. And there's several types of modulation, and I won't go over every one, but most people are used to AM radio, which is amplitude modulated, so they move it up and down in according to the strength of whatever audio they're sending out. And there is FM, and that's frequency modulation. And they both have their own characteristics. AM is susceptible to noise from lightning strikes and anything else that's out there that buzzes and pops. FM has what's called a rejection type of characteristic, where if you dial in, you only get the strongest FM signal, not both of them, just one. And it will capture that one and stay with it. There's also one that I wanted to mention. If you take an AM modulated signal and you look at it on a spectrum analyzer, you end up with a band that's a little above it and a band that's a little below it. And since they're right next to the center signal, which is the carrier, we call that the upper and lower sideband. and single sideband is how voice is conducted on HF much of the time. Now, in the past, radios have had little circuits, discrete circuits inside them that would demodulate whatever was out there. And so you bought a radio, and if it was an FM for VHF, well, then that's what it did. It demodulated according to FM radio. If you bought it and it was it had an AM module in it, you could demodulate AM radio and get the signal off of that. It's a little harder to do single sideband. But anyway, I want to get back real quick to the topic of software-defined radio. The signal comes down to the software-defined radio, and it's a mishmash of all these frequencies. Because you tune it to what frequency you want to listen to, you'll get the signals that are coming across that, but you still have to deal with the modulation. And the modulation can be done inside software. And that's what's so neat about these software-defined radios. All those discrete circuits that had to be done and they have to be developed and everything, you can now do in software. And so you can make it up to demodulate or decrypt any kind of signal that you can imagine. And it's very interesting. I recently went to the GNU software radio, GSR, conference. I only got to be there one day because I had other commitments. I couldn't afford it, both. And but it was very enlightening. And that's one way to get on cheap. If our computers make it through whatever's going to happen, that's one way. If the internet makes through, there's another way. If we still have cars to drive, great. I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, I probably confused everybody now, but I just wanted you to know the characteristics of a radio signal. It's going to have a certain amount of power on the carrier. It's going to have some kind of upper and lower sideband or some kind of modulation, either frequency or AM. And it's going to, the only way there's information placed upon that carrier is when you do modulate it somehow. And the transmitter and the receiver have to have the same, they must be encoding and decoding the same type of modulation for you to receive the signal. Okay, I would like to now go round robin once through probably and see if anybody has anything. Any questions on what I just said?
This is Kilo Whiskey. 4X-ray golf, and when you're talking about modulation, are you doing, is that for the rising and falling of the frequency, or is it your, like we had problems with people that just came on where they were too far away or we couldn't hear them, is that the modulation you're talking about?
They take the carrier. If you look at a like amplitude modulation, they take the carrier, and the carrier is vibrating at, give it a frequency, 10 megahertz. I'm just pulling that out of the air. So it's at 10 megahertz. So it's going down 10 million times every second. Well, the audio is going at about voice speed, which is about 400 or 500, maybe 200 cycles per second or hertz. And so it's much slower. So what you get is the carrier going up and down following an AM type wave or an audio type wave. And what they do is they put a diode in there and it takes off anything above or below a certain point and go to routes it different to an amplifier circuit. So anyway, I'm getting deeper than I should. I apologize.
No.
So you're changing the signal. The easiest one to understand is like a Morse code signal. The carrier is either there or it's not. And you have a little oscillator that every time it detects a carrier, when you got it on CW, every time it detects a carrier, it gives you a tone. And when there's no carrier, it's off. And so it can hear just the presence of the carrier and then the absence of the carrier, and that's generated inside the radio. So that's the easiest way. You either are transmitting or you're not transmitting. And the pattern of transmitting for short times and transmitting for longer times are dits and dots. A dot or a dash, dit and dash, dot and dash. A dot is a discrete. It's the smallest that you can do and still have it detected. A dash is about three of those, roughly. So it's either there or it's not. When you get into modulation, you'll have to take a look at that a little bit more. It's worth studying. Did I clarify anything, or did it just make it worse?
No, you're getting closer for where I have a better understanding, and I appreciate that. And I may fall off because my battery's doing a diddly at me, so.
Okay. All right. Is there anybody else with any other questions?
Well, this is Kilo Charlie 3, Hotel Victor Alpha. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is really more of a question, I guess, than a statement. I'm assuming that the software-defined radios are receive-only, or do they have a linear transformer you can hook on your computer that comes with them?
Nope, they're receive-only. However, okay. You can go back to them if you have something to boost your signal going out, because some of them, not all of them, but some of them do have a transmit port or a port that goes back out to the antenna. But you've got to boost that signal because we're talking tiny, tiny milliwatts. If you try and transmit on that, nobody's going to hear you if they're more than a few houses away. And so you have to put some kind of amplifier, and usually it's a linear-type amplifier so that your signal isn't messed up. But there's so many types of modulation. And the one thing that it does do is, as people accumulate these, the ways to modulate or demodulate and all these signals running around out there, they begin to see this is what a software-defined radio is. The nice thing about the GNU software-defined radio is that, and I can't remember what the name of it is right now, but it works in modules. So there's a module for AM, there's a module for single sideband, there's a module for FM, there's a module for FSK. And this one guy that was giving a talk, he lives down in towards Los Angeles, and he could hit a lot of these. So he figured out how to extract the data from the airline signals that they send saying, I am right here, and my engine's running fine, and whatever else information is on there. And so he showed that up and plotted it, and it was just amazing. Here's all of this stuff. He says, here's the 3 hours I did it next to LAX, and it was just running, and here's all these airplanes, and it shows them on the runway. It shows them taxiing. It shows them flying off towards Japan or Hawaii or wherever they're going, or east. It was just fascinating because he figured out how they were modulating it and where their encryption was coming from. And so it's kind of interesting. Does that answer your question, Jan?
Yes, it does, but it brought up another one.
Okay.
Is there a preamp included with their software? So
no,
if not, what would be the sensitivity of the radio and so on compared to like little
radios? The radios are very sensitive because all they're doing is they're taking whatever's coming across on your antenna, and the closer you have your antenna tuned to what you want to listen to, the better. But you can put a random wire out there and just do all kinds of things with it. So you're getting a very, very tiny signal in, and then it's amplified enough to where it pushes it to the software. The software is just taking a signal and processing it as if it was AM, single sideband, FM, or whatever it is. That's all it's doing. And you, being the person behind the software, you can construct it any way you please, and you can get the information. You can extract the intelligence that's coming off of that signal. That make sense?
Yes, it does. I have not actually downloaded one of them. I've just gone to a couple of the sites and looked at some of the displays they come up with, which are pretty phenomenal. And there's a lot of latitude there that you don't have with a fixed transceiver, you know?
A lot. And I'm sure you've seen some waterfall displays now. The thing is that the receiver that they call it is actually a digital-to-analog and an analog-to-digital receiver.
Right.
So it changes all the analog signals coming in, and according to what you said, and tweaks it and turns it in at a particular sampling rate into a digital signal. And then you're processing the digital values of that signal and extracting the information off of it. It's very fascinating. Okay, I got a little deep for no one. I apologize. Does anybody else want to bring up anything?
I do want to bring up an update for what went on here in South Carolina with the hurricane that went through. We were all on the ready for any kind of emergency. I mean, I got to tell you, we had places for people and animals to go. We had the roads were switched. And don't you know, the hurricane did its own what I've got in mind to do rather than what you want me to do. And one of my teachers at school said she was down in a town that was like 80 miles from where the hurricane was supposed to be going through, and it uprooted trees, et cetera. But up here in Spartanburg, where our ham radio club is and all the other people, we were ready for anything, and nothing happened up here. We had actually a very nice rain all day Friday and heavy winds on Saturday, but nothing horrific. But, however, the people that were in the areas that did get hit did have some really bad stuff, and I'm sure the hams in that area were working. But we were on the ready, and that's the point that I'm bringing up. The hams are on the ready, and we're prepared for any emergency. This is Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf signing off.
Okay, thank you, Wonder Ann. That was excellent. And I want to endorse that with the HF. I've listened on HF before and actually heard somebody reporting in to the NOAA Hurricane Center on HF about his conditions and what was happening. And I went upstairs to say, hey, I heard this guy on this island right here give a report to the Hurricane Center. And just as I said that, my family was watching the weather channel or something about the weather. And the guy, just as I said that, the guy on the TV said, oh, but this just in from such and such an island. It was the island I had just heard. And I heard it. He said everything that I had just heard, and it was just amazing to be able to do that.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Good reason. Good reason to have an HF radio and be able to listen. But we're not there yet. Let's keep going. All right. Thank you, Wonder Ann. Anybody else like to say anything or have a question?
I would like to make a comment. I think it would be beneficial to get the people on the call to participate. So what I would like to do is, starting next week, we should start rotating the net control around to different people, probably to start with people that have a ham license and a call sign. Wonder, Ann, if you wouldn't mind taking next week. I could take the week after that, and we can see where we could go from there. Give everybody
okay.
a chance to experience life as a ham.
Life as a ham. Well, I've already had that experience, but I'll be glad to do it again if that's what expedite. It'd be great to have new people be doing it, but I'll do whatever you need to be have done.
Yep, I think that's great.
Okay.
Yeah, and you don't have to have a license to do that. So if we have any volunteers out there, it'd be wonderful if you tried it. And you can always call me. Anybody's welcome to call me and ask any question that they might have. I would be happy to talk to anybody. Everybody's got my number. It's right there on the page. It's on the little flyer that Jan sends out. Please give me a call if you have any questions. I want you over the fence and running through the field again as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea, Jan.
Yep.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, I guess in that vein, anybody that wants to volunteer now, don't hold back. Just email me, Jan, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll put you on the calendar.
Okay. And this is really good experience doing it because it gets you over that fear level of, am I going to say it wrong? Am I going to say it right? It's really good to do this. So.
And it'll force Terry, KI0RE, to type up some little script that will be consistent for everybody so that we cover everything. It's just the opening and closing is all it is, really.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it was very helpful when you asked me, Terry, when you called and gave me those tips on how you open and close, because I had not remembered that. I'm sorry, this is Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Andrea. Excellent. Well, I gave a little bit of a homework assignment and asked people to talk about resonance the last 2 weeks. I wonder if I'd scared everybody off. In the nets that I've conducted, we used to do a simplex net. That net's still going on, by the way, once a week here around the Denver metropolitan area. And we held it on simplex, and we would rotate everybody through. And he'd ask for volunteers, and then and if you didn't take a spot, he'd just assign you. And he'd make sure he would call you and help you remember that you're going to do it or not. And then he would take the ones that somebody couldn't make. It works good for people that are anxious to get in and want to practice but are a little shy. It works bad if somebody really doesn't want to do it. So I hope everybody wants to do it. I figure you wouldn't be here. Paul, we haven't heard from you. Do you have anything for tonight?
I'm muted.
He's unmuted, Michigan Paul.
Yes.
If you'd like to make
question?
A comment.
I'm just listening. One question, that is, what is the percentage of the ham operators who do get a license?
100%.
Okay.
In other words, you shouldn't be operating the radio unless you do have a license.
Except for those four little low-power channels, right, or five, I guess it is. You can transmit on them at a water too, right?
Yeah, there's a few of them. But those aren't ham bands.
Right. So in general, if you want to be a ham, you have to get a license. Kind of the way it
is. Okay. All right, thank you.
Sure.
Bruce in Florida, KM4WJ. Do you got anything to say tonight or any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I do
on my radio, I have a local net that runs every night at 8:30, and it covers about 10 counties in western Florida here. And they have five repeaters all connected together. If you want to listen to it, I have it on my radio now.
I think we're a little beyond that right now. I do want to do that sometime, but let's keep two apart, because I really, this meeting is to think about strategy, come up with ideas to help people get their license and then use their license and support a committee as a safety. We have a Link computer system here in Colorado that's got about 13 computers, so when you light up there, you're hitting about 70% of the land area in Colorado, and they have nets almost every night. So I understand the concept, and I appreciate it. We are definitely looking for input that you have as to how to effectively execute the communications plan that's up there on the NLA website. That makes sense?
Yeah, I haven't looked at that much. But as far as the people worried about getting a license, the test isn't hard. And I went on YouTube. Rhodey, R-O-H-D-E, it's a woman. She has classes on there, and if you go through her things, the test is quite easy.
Well, there's another one. Okay. And that was Rhodey, R?
Yeah, it's Alexandra Rhodey, R-O-H-D-E. She's on YouTube. And she reads the questions to you and gives you time to answer, and you know, then she gives you the right answer, Roman. And if you go through this several times, you have no trouble.
Okay. I'll put that down. I'll take a look at that. I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. Greg in Florida, do you have any comments, suggestions, or questions?
Yeah, I changed to my phone instead of my computer. Can you hear me better?
That makes a big difference, yes. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I bought an SDR a couple months ago out of England, supposedly one of the better ones that they have on the market, but it wasn't very cheap. It was $170. I haven't hooked it up or anything yet, but I also ordered a Bofang. I was just waiting for it to arrive. I got the cord and the programming today, but I'm expecting the radio, you know, to come sometime soon after that for the Bofang. And I was just going to mention something about the hurricanes. If you go to a YouTube channel called One Pacific Redwood, they show an analysis of the radar and the actual Hartz frequencies that they're using on the storms, and show how they actually alter the weather there. That's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Can you give me that website again? Is it numeral one or one spelled out?
The number one and then Pacific Redwood, and it's a YouTube channel. And he goes through it he followed the hurricane here, but normally he's on the West Coast, but during the hurricane he was following it, and he was showing the anomalous behavior, you know, when does the hurricane ever make a U-turn and all kinds of things, and showing how they photoshopped over some things in the radar, you know, before they brought it out to the public. So it was pretty interesting.
Cool. Okay, I'm going to look that up. I'm learning a lot here tonight. Okay, are there any other... I appreciate the input, Greg, and I hope you come back, and I hope you continue your efforts here. Hope everybody continues their efforts. We've got at least three new hams now that weren't hams back when we first started talking about ham radio in L.A. Is there anybody else with a comment, question, or suggestion? Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and close the net then. This has been the NLA Hams Net. We gather about 6 p.m. local Mountain Daylight Time, 8 p.m. My God, do I have that right? Yeah, it's 8 p.m.
Eastern
Daylight Time. Excuse me, thank you.
Right.
and every Wednesday night, and we just talk about being in a ham and how you can support the NLA and committees of safety with that. Anything is open and authorized. We can talk just about anything we want. So I'd like to thank everybody that participated tonight, and look forward to seeing you again when it comes around next week. This is KI0RE, and I'll say good night and have a good week studying.
Thanks, Jan. And thanks, Jerry. Sorry, I got my phone upside down. Thanks, Jerry and Jan. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.